Potential Secretary of Defense nominee James Mattis appeared in front of crowds at a thank you rally that Donald Trump hosted.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to return to our troops, their families, the civilians of the Department of Defense, because I know how committed they are and devoted they are to the defense of our country, the defense of our Constitution.
President-elect Trump in Ohio today to visit victims of the Ohio State attack. USA Radio News.
This holiday season, give your family and friends the gift of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair with the Ovation Hair Care Holiday Gift Set, a gift-giving suggestion at a very giving price.
This year's holiday gift set includes the famous Ovation Cell Therapy 3-Bottle System, plus intensive repair hair mask, clarifying shampoo, Ovation vitamins, and special Ovation detangling comb. What a great gift at a great savings price.
The Ovation Holiday Gift Set is already specially priced at 60% off retail. But this week only, get free shipping too. Now through Friday, save 60% off retail with free shipping. Hurry, the gift set sell out every year.
At this special price, buy an Ovation gift set for a friend and one for yourself too.
Go now to ovationhair.com and order yours today. Save over 60% and get free shipping. Now through Friday, new customers should select this station at checkout to get an additional introductory discount. ovationhair.com.
Arrests have been made in connection with the fires in East Tennessee. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Late Wednesday, authorities reported that two juveniles
were taken into custody by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation on allegations of aggravated arson.
And the District Attorney General Jimmy Dunn says because the two are underage, they're not able to give many details, including their names, but they could face additional charges.
And all options available to the state when dealing with juveniles are on the table.
At least 14 people are known to have died in those fires in the Great Smoky Mountains. I'm Chris Barnes.
Police are searching for an escaped maximum security inmate who may have stabbed an officer several times. Michael Allen Williamson was serving a life sentence at a state prison in South Carolina. He escaped on Wednesday night. He's now wanted in connection to the stabbing of a police officer inside a Walmart. The officer taken to a hospital for treatment. Reportedly, he's in stable condition. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
There are three foods that may be killing you. These three commonly consumed foods are actually banned in many other countries and yet readily available in the United States and frequently consumed here. The big food distributors have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try and keep this information a secret. Learn what these foods are and what they are doing to you by going to KillerFood35.com. That's KillerFood35.com.
Former Senator and astronaut John Glenn in a hospital in Ohio. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
I don't know his condition or his illness or his prognosis.
That's a spokesman at Ohio State University's John Glenn College of Public Affairs confirming that former astronaut and U.S. Senator John Glenn has been hospitalized for about a week now in Ohio, getting treatment for an undisclosed condition. The 95-year-old was the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962. Glenn was elected to the Senate in 1974 and served until his retirement in 1999. I'm Chris Barnes.
There's a website that every year gives what they call the Darwin Award away to people who die in a dumb manner. A New York teenager, now one of the qualifiers. Here's the story.
Police say the 14-year-old was riding between two L-train cars last night when he tried to leap to a New Lots Avenue platform. He missed and fell to the tracks where he was run over and killed by the train. If it sounds familiar, it is. Just last week, a man was struck and killed in Greenwich Village when he fell while trying to do a similar stunt between two cars on an F-train. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Alt-left filmmaker Michael Moore encouraging people to protest President-elect Trump's upcoming inauguration. The filmmaker tweeted, quote, "Disrupt the inauguration. The majority have spoken. Silence is not an option." Moore is teaming up with Disrupt J20, a group of protests in D.C. the day of the inauguration. USA Radio News.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Welcome to the Hunterton Chamber Internet Radio Station. This program is entitled Teachable Moments in Business, and I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host. So I want to welcome you to the program today. We have this program every Thursday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you missed the program, you can certainly go into the archives on the website, and you'll hear all of the programs that I have conducted, which includes some great interviews with business people. Now, the name of this program is Teachable Moments to Business. So let me ask you, where do business people get the most up-to-date information and ideas they can use to meet their everyday challenges? Where can they learn trustworthy, real-world, doable strategies and action plans you just won't find anywhere else? Well, you know what? It's right here on Teachable Moments in Business. So I hope you'll check in with us every Thursday afternoon, and I guarantee that you'll have takeaways that you can use, whether you're the business owner, a startup, a budding entrepreneur, an employee of a company. There's so many tips that I can share with you, and certainly my guests will share information. They can cover the topics of business plans, marketing, selling, trade show and event marketing, networking skills, how to develop a company name, some tips that you might use for developing a website. So the list really goes on and on, and if you haven't figured it out already, I'm quite passionate about all of these topics, and I'm very anxious to help people learn some tips that they can put into use really right away. I also want to have a shout-out to my friend Mark down in Tampa. He called me today. I told him I'd be online. So I know that people do call in from around the country. So, Mark, let me know that you're listening. And by the way, if any of our listeners have people that they'd like to hear or topics that you'd like us to explore, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, and the Gmail account that I use is teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. So I'm going to leave you for a moment so we can do some weather and also a word from one of our sponsors. So the weather today, well, let's see, today is Thursday, December 8th. It's chilly out. According to my weather report here, we're at about 43 degrees, and that temperature will go down to probably about 25 degrees this evening with a west wind between 8 and 13 miles per hour. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at isolated snow showers or flurries after 1 p.m. It'll be partly sunny with a high near 38 with a west wind 11 to 17 miles per hour. And there'll be some gusts of wind up to, oh goodness, up to 29 miles per hour. And there is a 20% chance of precipitation tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it'll be partly cloudy with a low of around 22 degrees with a west wind of 7 to 11 miles per hour. And Saturday will be mostly sunny with a high near, the temperature is going to go up to 37 degrees. So my friend Mark in Tampa can enjoy his warm weather while we're wearing overcoats and hats and gloves as it gets chilly around here. I will be giving you an extended forecast the next time we do the weather forecast. But in the meantime, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
This is Vicki Lynn Morgan speaking on Teachable Moments in Business here at the Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station. Well, those of you who have heard me conduct these programs may have identified the fact that occasionally I get on a ramp, I get on my rant, I get on my soapbox about different topics, and today I got on one that I really want to share with you. I mentioned in the past that I own Califont Connection LLC. It's a single entity LLC with several DBAs or doing business as, one of which is Animal Brands. Animal Brands is the first woman-owned, and I started it, the first woman-owned manufacturer's rep agency in the pet supply industry. And as a manufacturer's rep, our job has always been to help pet product manufacturers develop channels of distribution for their product lines. That meant that we had to develop relationships with the distributors because those are the target markets of these manufacturers. So we had to know who the distributors were, and then we need to know who the stores are that they sell to. Now, this is in the independent trade, so it's feed stores, pet shops, kennels, vets, and groomers. So those are the clients of our customers, and we help them develop awareness for the product lines so that they have opportunities to make sales. Well, years ago, everybody knew what their job was in our industry. It was very clear. You had manufacturers who had either employed salespeople or they hired independent sales agents, such as my company, Animal Brands. There were the distributors who warehoused the products. They had salespeople on the road, and they would sell to the independent stores, the feed stores, pet shops, kennels, vets, and groomers. And those folks, of course, would mark up to the retail level and sell to the, we call them pet parents today. But business has changed radically over the years. And over the years, since about 1989, there has been a lot of consolidation in the pet industry, which is also true in many industries. And as a result of consolidations and the mergers and the bankruptcies, many industries are seeing a situation where there are fewer distributors who are actually servicing larger market areas. And a lot of distributors in that process become what some people refer to as just order takers. They just deliver a product. They don't really do a whole lot of marketing. So the manufacturers have to be the ones that do the manufacturing. And as a rep, I did a lot of manufacturing marketing for the companies we represented, because a lot of people don't even understand what marketing is all about. And so I've been very much involved in this industry for over 40 years. Now, currently, we're beginning to see many, many changes whereby manufacturers may be selling to stores, going around to distributors. There are a lot of online wholesalers who buy direct from manufacturers, or they backdoor, what they call backdoor products from other distributors. There are distributors and manufacturers who are drop shipping to not only retailers but also consumers. The whole system is becoming quite muddied, and it's really because of the advent of the internet and all of the opportunities that people have to sell online. And it's not unnatural for these things to be happening, but at the same time that I got to thinking about this today, I learned of some people who are buying direct from manufacturers, and they're selling into market areas that typically would have been well beyond their traditional market area. But because it's internet sales, and because a lot of the shipping procedures have been refined today, so people can ship small quantities to either retailers or consumers. So I started to really ponder all of this. And at the same time, across my desk came an article entitled "The Death of the Independent Pet Store." So I wanted to share this with you, this article, for starters today, and it really led me into doing some more research. So I'm going to have some interesting feedback from professionals in many, many different industries that have addressed the question, online sales. Is it a bummer for stores and the economy? So starting with the pet business, I wanted to read this this article to you because I think it really it actually sets the pace and the foundation for my topic today. So, and what I talk about in the pet industry can apply to virtually any industry. Certainly the hardware industry where you've got the big box stores, that's another example. So the article reads that the pet store industry is highly concentrated. PetSmart and Petco, which are your two major players, account for 60% of total revenue. The remainder of the industry is made up of small chain pet stores, small franchises, and family-owned businesses. Now, at this point, this article really doesn't get into the online sales and the percentage of sales. This industry happens to be somewhere over $60 billion. In fact, when I got into the industry, it was literally multi-million. I got in the industry in 1976, and of course, I was about 12 years old at the time, but it has obviously grown. So in recent years, pet industry growth has been fueled by a wave of consolidation that appears to continue. Increasing number of companies are being bought out, and the market share of the two big boxes is only expected to grow in the next 5 years. The main players are proving difficult to beat on some counts, such as lower prices, wider product selections, and the convenience of online sales being three major selling points for the consumers. Of course, Petco and PetSmart can sell online too. They can have what you might call a hybrid companies. Are those companies that may have started it with a storefront, they went to a catalog and then online, or some companies start with a hybrid, might be a company that starts online, has a catalog, and then opens up stores. And we've seen this in the apparel industry, for example. So despite this, and many pet stores continue to thrive and grow as they carve out a unique place in the industry and offer benefits that can't be found at the big box stores. But they do struggle to compete. And as a result of that, there's a decreased revenue, and even there have been many store closures as a result of all of this. So the question then becomes, what are the keys to success for small retailers in the current marketplace? A useful resource for small pet retailers in this year's IBIS World Industry Report on pet stores in the U.S., the report identifies several key factors for success in the industry, giving guidance on how to stand out from the big players and grow a successful business. Now, keep in mind, their tips would apply to any retail business. Among the key factors most relevant for small retailers is the importance of employing a capable and trained staff. With the ongoing trend toward the humanization of pets, pet owners increasingly value a connection with staff that have knowledge of the industry and the products best suited to meet the needs of their pets. Small stores are well positioned to take advantage of the niche product marketing, and they can cater to a particular demand. For example, personalized diets for pets. The great advantage for small independent stores offering this approach is the high level of customer service that can be delivered. Of course, training is critical. So trained staff can assist customers and offer personalized advice that big box stores simply cannot compete with. With the difference in price between the big boxes and the independents being relatively insignificant, many pet owners are choosing to shop at small stores that offer the level of customer service and advice that they require. The knowledge and personalized advice small stores can offer represents an advantage over the big boxes, but the increase in e-commerce still remains a threat to the independents. Now, there's an organization called Package Facts that analyzes many different industries. So for the pet industry, they have assigned a gentleman who studies the pet business, and he puts out a rather lengthy, pretty thick, multi-page report on the industry. So if anybody wants to know about the pet industry or about any industry, contact a company called Package Facts. I don't know exactly where they're located, but it's Facts, F-A-C-T-S. That company has studied the industry, and they've stated that the purchase of pet products online, now get this, 38% in 2014, that's 2 years ago, there was an increase in online purchasing, with around a third of pet owners now buying pet products online. Now, that bothers me. It bothers me as to how it's going to affect the pet retailers who have struggled for years to serve their clients, to stay up to date with inventory and with products that they believe will sell and that will solve the problems of their customers. This is a trend that small pet stores would be wise to consider. Small retailers are often intimidated by the cost and logistics of keeping a large enough inventory for online sales, but drop shipping can be a relatively simple and cost-effective solution for small stores who want to offer e-commerce. So their stores do have an option. In fact, there may be some distributors that they buy from who would be willing to drop ship to the end user. That's possible. So aside from creating a personalized customer experience in store, the best way for small pet stores to stay competitive is by extending the customer experience online. To stand out in today's marketplace, stores should cultivate a strong web presence, offer online sales, and market directly to the existing and prospective customers. And that, by the way, includes the millennials. And these are people who are obviously technology-driven, and you need to appeal to the interests of your customer base. In business today, you can't expect people to do business your way. You have to develop a system and approach that's appropriate for the customers that you want to attract and to serve. So while it's true that the big box stores are staking a larger claim in the industry, stores that look closely at consumer trends and adapt to the marketplace are proving they have the resilience to succeed into the future. So that's the article and the response to the headline, The Death of the Independent Pet Store? I'll be coming back to you in a few minutes.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Vicki Lynn Morgan, Teachable Moments in Business on the Hunterdon Chamber Radio Station. I've been ranting about what's happening in retail because it affects me. It affects all of us. And so I did the research and found the article about the death of the independent pet store, which you could say the independent gift shop. You could say any kind of store because we all have that concern. But I came across an article written by Walter Loeb, who is a contributor to the Forbes online news site. He is a senior retail analyst. He's worked in the apparel industry for many years. He has published a lot of documents on media events and trends in retail industry. And he's been published in top business and trade publications. So back in January, it's almost a year ago, he wrote an article that was entitled Why Retailers Must Restructure in 2016. So going back a year, this is what he said. He said the 2015 holiday season made major shifts in consumer buying patterns very clear. The rise of internet shopping and growth of off-price retailing are mega trends reshaping the retail industry. In 2016, retailers who want to survive will have to respond to restructuring. Internet sales are booming at the cost of direct store purchases. Customers are favoring off-price stores that offer fashion at an attractive price. Near-term sales weakness in apparel and general merchandise are adding to the pressure. Young customers are prioritizing the purchase of new technology over other goods, and the unseasonably warm weather has left many coats and boots and sweaters on the retail shelves waiting for even deeper markdowns. TJ Maxx stores are part of the flourishing TJX companies, which is among the off-price retailers that has been successful very recently. Many retailers did not anticipate the change in buying patterns and the negative momentum it would bring to their stores. They did not see the rapid shift to online shopping, which often occurs in the middle of the night when customers have ample leisure time. Nor did they see how the demand for new technology would cause a shift away from the ready-to-wear apparel. So he says the future profitability of many leading retailers is a serious concern. They're now defensive against the leading internet and off-price retailers such as Amazon and TJX companies. They are losing sales productivity in their stores while expenses rise and the management bureaucracy continues to grow. So he goes on to say that by all indications, internet sales rose about 23% in 2015 and are likely to increase at that pace again in 2016. So just as a sidebar, I don't know that, obviously we don't know yet what the rise in internet sales will be, but I know that I heard a report on, and I don't remember all the details, but that Amazon had like over half of the retail sales and across the whole country over the Thanksgiving weekend. So capturing 51 cents of every additional dollar Americans spent online, the New York Times reports Amazon is capturing an ever-growing share of retail sales in the U.S. Amazon now accounts for 26% of total internet sales, up from 22% in the year before, which would have been 2014. So if this rapid transfer of business from store sales to the internet continues, and it seems it will, traditional brick-and-mortar retailers must look at their business structure, and they have to decide where to cut administrative staff and which stores to close in order to survive. So I think these are obviously very interesting statistics that we really need to ponder regardless of the retail business that we're in. As these retailers compress consumer prices, traditional U.S. retailers will be forced to emphasize low-price and low-cost operations. As a result, traditional retailers will have to look at their cost structure and decide how to be lean and competitive in their pricing, staffing, and the number of stores that they may be either have now or consider opening. Now, there's a surge. They also pointed out in this article that there's a surge in off-price store openings. So consumers like to shop for value. We all do. So off-pricers are happy to oblige. Based on third-quarter reports in 2015, about 604 off-price units were opened in 2015, a surge that will continue in the new year. So Nordstrom opened 27 Rack stores. Macy's opened 6 Macy's Backstage stores. Saks Fifth Avenue opened 14 off-fifth stores. And Ross stores opened 66 units. Bloomingdale's opened 1 store. Kohl's is testing 1 unit. And Lord & Taylor is dabbling with a concept by opening 1 store. TJX, the industry's dominant player and an important candidate for the Retailer of the Year in 2015, they opened 320 units in the U.S. Collectively, there are now over 4,000 off-price stores in the U.S., a 12% increase in 1 year. The broader retail industry is definitely not growing double-digit, which means that the off-price channel is rapidly taking market share from traditional retailers. The concept of off-price retailing is not new. In fact, it is old. It is used. It used to be the basement store in most department stores, as we can, some of us can readily remember. Initially, off-price stores featured price reductions on branded merchandise that came from the full-price mother store. Today, brands supply merchandise in huge quantities in anticipation of off-price sales. In order to satisfy demand for discounted branded product, the brands either overproduce or repeat last year's designs to ensure the off-price stores are full. The market share shift to off-price is obviously hurting the traditional retailers, requiring them to review their cost structures, including stores and staffing. So here's another point. Every time Apple introduces a new product, traditional retailers will feel a negative impact. No doubt, Apple and others will introduce new innovative mobile, wearable, and portable products that consumers must have every year. Consumers are not likely to spend on technology and apparel at the same time. Stores will have to examine their ability to attract customers when an important new technology product launch occurs. It is a challenge that must be met by both department stores and specialty retailers through innovative thinking. And we don't always see innovative thinking among traditional retailers. I'm going to continue this article here in a few minutes, but we need to hear a word from some of our sponsors.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
SWAT team made entry. They found one suspect inside who was deceased from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The suspect has been positively identified as Mr. Limbrick.
Authorities in Georgia confirming the suicide death of the man who shot and killed a police officer yesterday and critically wounded another. Police officials say they found Miguel Limbrick because of tips based on a reward.
His community came together. They worked with law enforcement, and they contributed to a reward fund, which went forward with information which led us to where he was at.
President-elect Donald Trump in Ohio, he'll be meeting with the victims of the terrorist attack at Ohio State University, then moving on his thank you tour to a stop in Iowa tonight, Michigan on Friday. Get more news and analysis online at usaradio.com.
This holiday season, give your family and friends the gift of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair with the Ovation Hair Care Holiday Gift Set, a gift-giving suggestion at a very giving price.
This year's holiday gift set includes the famous Ovation Cell Therapy 3-Bottle System, plus intensive repair hair mask, clarifying shampoo, Ovation vitamins, and special Ovation detangling comb. What a great gift at a great savings price.
The Ovation Holiday Gift Set is already specially priced. It's 60% off retail. But this week only, get free shipping too. Now through Friday, save 60% off retail with free shipping. Hurry, the gift set sell out every year.
At this special price, buy an Ovation gift set for a friend and one for yourself too.
Go now to ovationhair.com and order yours today. Save over 60% and get free shipping. Now through Friday, new customers should select this station at checkout to get an additional introductory discount. ovationhair.com.
This is Vicki Lynn Morgan speaking of Teachable Moments in Business on the 100 and Chamber radio station. Let's take a look at the weather and extended forecast. So tonight we're looking at a low of about 25 degrees, isolated snow on Friday with possible precipitation of 30%. Friday night, the temperature is going to go down to about 22. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 37, with gusts of wind up to 21 miles per hour. Now, Saturday night, we're looking at the skies being partly cloudy with a low of about 21, so get out those winter coats and those gloves. Sunday, there's a slight chance of rain and snow after 1 p.m. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 37. And again, the chance of some precipitation would be at about 20%. Sunday night, snow is likely, mainly after 1 a.m., and cloudy with a low of around 30 degrees. Now, Monday, snow is likely before 10 o'clock in the morning, and then rain and snow likely between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. So we're looking at an interesting weather pattern here. I think all in all, you better have your winter coats and your gloves and your hats ready to be prepared for whatever should be happening. So we were talking about this information about retailers, and the article was really geared toward the apparel industry. However, the bullet points in here are pretty much applicable to just about any industry. One of the points that the article talks about are the millennial customers, which are a different breed of customer. And what's interesting, the statement is made that they are not confident consumers. They are afraid of a recession or a lack of employment. They want to own less and lease more, including suits and dresses. I don't know if you would lease suits and dresses. But they respond to good service and do research on the internet before making a major purchase. And in fact, I had read recently that you as a company need to have as much exposure on the internet as possible. The article suggested that you have 150 exposures on the internet, which I think is a tall order for some people. But you have to be out there because your buyers are making decisions before they ever talk to you or before they ever click the button to buy on your website. They are real-time consumers, and they shop for today's needs and wait around for the last minute to shop for tomorrow's events. So while servicing such demanding real-time consumers, retailers must learn to protect their franchise. A major retailer told this writer of the article that the most durable franchise in department stores is coats and watches. So millennials cross-shop brick-and-mortar stores, boutiques, and specialty stores, and of course online for most other classifications of merchandise. They probably do it for coats and watches too, despite the retail executive who suggested that people buy coats and watches in stores. The signs are everywhere. Traditional retailers must restructure their organizations now. The cost of operating is escalating as stores become less productive. More stores must be closed. Costs must be cut and reallocated. There are just too many chiefs and too many salespeople taking care of the customers. There has to be an effort to make more productive stores and to recognize that the traditional management structure of retail's stores, whether they're large or small, must give way to a new, tighter, and more flexible approach. A new industry culture needs to emerge, one that empowers associates by creating a team spirit that will be rewarding for customers, employees, and management. And quite often you hear about Nordstrom being a leader in customer service and giving their employees and their sales staff the ability to make decisions without having to go to higher management. So the article finalizes in the final statement here. In 2016, we will see more sales promotions and clearance sales as the months continue. So he goes back to in New Year's Day, we saw a one-day sale by Macy's. This is New Year's Day 2015, or going into 2016. We saw a one-day sale by Macy's, which lasted for 2 days. All stores want to mark down seasonal merchandise and get ready for the spring season. This is more of the same old approach. Innovative thinking and serious restructuring is urgently needed, but only modest incremental changes are imminent. Dwindling profits will force faster change, but it may be too late for some. So there are obviously people that are very concerned about what may have happened this year in 2016. So as we move into 2017, I'm sure we're going to start seeing some reports on sales and where the sales actually took place, whether they were online or through the the brick and mortar stores. So this is all very interesting to me, and I think it's a heads up for those of us who are in retail. Now, there was an article that was published in May of 2016 by the San Diego Union-Times newspaper, and the title of the article is "A Bummer for Online Sales: A Bummer for Stores and the Economy." So, the writer of this article went out and interviewed many different well-known and well-respected business people. Those people came from the health, the financial, the retail industries, as well as universities, people that were involved in high-end real estate, and also people that own and operate employment agencies. So again, the question that was asked of these people was, online sales, a bummer for stores and the economy? Yes or no? So it was interesting, out of all of the responses, and I'd like to read some of these to you, only two people said, no, it's not a bummer. But the balance of the people, and it's a vast majority, said, yes, it is a bummer for stores and the economy. So first of all, the person who said, no, it's not a bummer, said, clearly there is a downside to stores not adapting to consumers changing online shopping behavior. Many opportunities also exist for retail businesses to benefit from online shopping. Stores can offer personal shopper apps activated when entering the store, mapping and smart navigation to find available in-store inventory, and offer the flexibility of pre-ordering and picking up merchandise in-store or providing home delivery. Traditional retail stores can adapt and thrive or see their businesses dwindling away. Now, you know, I think back to all of the retailers that we do business with in our local towns here in Flemington, throughout the county, and throughout the state of New Jersey. I have to say to you have to ask yourself, are these people going to adapt to that point that they have personal shopping apps? Are they going to offer flexibility of pre-ordering and people picking up merchandise? Are they going to offer home delivery service? I question whether or not some of them are going to do that, because that's a whole new learning curve that some of these folks will have to engage in, and they may not be ready to do that. In fact, I think that as people get older and they've been in business for a long time, they're just not of a mind and just not prepared to make those changes. In fact, when I teach classes to business people, I teach a business plan class. I do say to them, if you do have competition, don't let it bother you until you analyze the competition. If your competitors have been around for 15 or 20 years, chances are those owners have become, more lax in their business practices. They probably have not kept up with the competition, with the technology. They have not perhaps trained their staff, and they've assumed that their customers are going to keep coming back. Those are the people that are very vulnerable to the newcomers that are coming in who have the ability to do the engage with technology. So I would say that this person who said, no, it's not a bummer, He's got a few caveats here. Now, another person said, yes, we are all trying to do more of everything but at lower costs and still within the 24 hours we are all allotted. The retail trade will never be the same now that the immediate gratification of shopping in a store is now matched with same-day delivery of the exact size and color, and everything is always in stock. Retailing has always been a mainstay for entry-level white-collar jobs, and especially for teaching essential skills such as customer service, personal interaction, and even appearance. How these hundreds of thousands of retail jobs will be replaced in the future is the real concern. Now, another person wrote, yes, it is a bummer. Many of the retail organizations that are losing customers to online websites are redesigning and refocusing their brick-and-mortar stores to improve the shopping experience for customers, such as offering more personalized services that cannot be easily duplicated by online retailers. This transition can result in fewer available traditional retail store jobs. Also, as traditional retailers increasingly promote their own online stores, some local brick-and-mortar stores and the associated jobs will disappear. So there's some food for thought. Here's another one. Somebody said, yes, online selling is a bummer. They said, online sales export labor and revenue out of local economies. Further damage is caused by store closures, leading to vacancies depressing commercial retail valuation. Online sales not only require less labor, but eliminate all the all-important human interaction training that occurs in brick-and-mortar stores. Reduced entry-level workforce training opportunities hurt economies. This shift, along with increasing minimum wage costs, will cause major disruption and hardships for the low-skilled workforce. So I'm sure that was a statement that was made by somebody certainly in the employment industry. Here's another one. Yes, it is a bummer to have online sales. And this is the response of this individual. As sales shift to the internet, traditional brick-and-mortar retailers are closing more stores, which results in less employment in the retail sector. While more people will be employed in online retailing and in delivery services, there will likely be a net decline in employment. While those jobs were not great in terms of pay, they did allow young people to get started in the workforce and provided opportunities for those who would only work part-time. So if you have young people in the family who are looking for some part-time work, obviously there's a point at which there'll be fewer job opportunities in the retail environment. Okay, we're going to go to hearing about some of our sponsors.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll.
The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this hour from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursdays. So I have been sharing with you information that appeared in the San Diego Union-Times newspaper, and the article was entitled Online Sales, a Bummer for Stores and the Economy? Well, so far these the folks that were interviewed on this topic do seem to suggest that it is a bummer for so many people. Another response was as follows. With approximately 15.9 million people working in the U.S. retail industry, the economic downside includes the loss of jobs for those working at brick-and-mortar stores and the shuttering of stores by retailers to cut costs, leaving vacancies at shopping malls and storefronts. Consumers are all about bargains, convenience, and more options. Spending at online retailers has shot up an estimated 10.7% from a year ago. Companies need to adjust quickly to the changing market or face going out of business. Another individual said, yes, it's a bummer. Many people have invested their lives in making brick-and-mortar sales successful. There's a lot of physical and human capital committed that cannot easily shift to some other activity. Although online sales bring more efficiency to the operation and benefits to customers, adjusting to any new technology always imposes costs that those who have it dependent on earlier ways of doing business. So it's going to be hard for some people to shift, but we're at a point in this economy that we all have to rethink what we do. Many of us have to reinvent. And I think it's important to consider before making those shifts and before reinventing oneself, that you have to consider who is your target audience, who do you want to do business with, and what are their needs. We can't assume that people will do business our way. We have to adjust to meet those needs, and that's essentially what we're hearing in some of these responses. Now, there was another individual who said, no, it's not a bummer. He says, brick-and-mortar businesses must face the fact that they will be foolish to ignore the Internet as a substantial sales channel. If they don't, they will lose significant revenue in a similar way that small mom-and-pop stores lost their revenue to malls. Online purchases are convenient. They support less stocking of product. They are not subject to theft, and they function 24 hours per day and allow far more marketing data to be collected. I have to say that I'm guilty of shopping online because I'm so busy with running several different businesses. It's hard for me to even get to a store. And when I do, I run in, buy what I need, and leave. I wish I could spend more time window shopping. But I'm the example of the individual who buys online because it's convenient. And UPS and FedEx have obviously done their part, as well as the post office system, U.S. Post Office system. They've all done their parts to be able to deliver in a very quick and professional and systematic way to meet my needs. And I'm sure many of you who are listening are in the same boat. Another person said, "Yes, it's definitely a bummer. On the macro level, it's a wash. People spend what they spend. The only issue is where and whose economy and government those purchases benefit. So local retailers and shopping centers lose out every time the purchase is made online. That loss contracts the local economy. Local government doesn't collect the sales tax if the purchase is not made within its jurisdiction, but the state of California collects its taxes regardless." And by the way, I purchased something recently from, it was the Carolinas, North or South Carolina, and they quoted me the price. I agreed to the order, and they called me back, and they said, oh, the state of New Jersey requires us to collect sales tax. And that's the first person that has ever told me that. Typically, in the past, I believe that a sales tax had to be collected by an out-of-state company if they had either people working in the state of New Jersey or had, say, a branch office here. they would have to charge sales tax. But here was a company in the Carolinas that I know does not have, they used to have retail stores here. Now they don't have any retail stores, to my knowledge, but they still have to collect the New Jersey sales tax, which I thought was interesting. Another person said, yes, it's a bummer. And they go on to say that there is an economic upside for both consumers and businesses. Small businesses will be disproportionately affected with increased competition from more efficient, cheap labor locations. Many small shops will close. Consumers will lose the ability to try or feel multiple products and the help of sales reps. The upside, however, include convenience, increased choice, easy comparison and review of shopping, and often lower prices for consumers. Businesses that are able to take advantage gain geographic reach, focus, and scale. So I guess I have to ask you, if you have a retail business, where are you in this picture? What are you doing to be sure that you don't lose your customers? And I would say communication skills are not good today. If you get some younger folks working in your retail store, you better train them, because they are quite often not really good at communicating. They're better using text messaging than they are communicating in person with people. And people are shy. I mean, I teach selling skills and I teach elevator speeches, and I try to get people to, I do ask them to stand up and give elevator speeches. And I can't tell you how many people say, oh, they're afraid of, they're afraid to talk to people. They lack confidence. And this is something that you have to instill in your employees who are working with customers. So here's another person that said, no, it's not a bummer. It said those places that are entertaining and provide an experience that allow people to shop the mall are staying vibrant. Today's consumers yearn for and will continue to visit those high energy, unique shopping places. Locations where people simply go to the store to purchase commodities are feeling the real brunt of that online competition. Hence, the ultimate shift is from mid-market commodity-driven department stores to online. I think that it's extremely important to create a wonderful environment for your shopper. And if people enjoy spending their money, they enjoy the interaction, it's almost creating a social environment in that store, then they're more inclined to revisit. So I guess the question then is, how can you create that, what I call that dog and pony show? What are you going to do to get people to come back? I went to a store in Clinton one time, and I didn't buy anything, but the people thanked me for coming in. They gave me a little bag of candy, and I remembered that. And the next time I went back, nobody talked to me. I didn't get any more little bags of candy. It turned out the company had changed hands. That was the last time I went there. So, you know, what can you do to get people to come back? I know that there's a restaurant that I get emails from all the time that tells me their special menus on certain days of the week, their special events. They give out a coupon card that you can stamp. They give you an envelope that has a discount in it. When you go the next time, you take that envelope with you, and after you've ordered your meal, you can open up and find out what your discount's going to be. They give people reasons to go back, and that's what our retailers have to do in order to avoid the troublesome competition of the online presence that we have today. So I've had a few more of these, but I don't have time to read them, but it's really compelling. I hope that this information has been helpful. If you are in retail, you have relatives in the retail business, or you're thinking about opening a store, or even if you have friends that run stores, you might suggest that they think about ways to beef up their customer relationship management so that they stay in business, and perhaps they want to become a hybrid, having that online presence. Give people choices for how they're going to shop. People do want to make those decisions themselves. In fact, Jeffrey Gittimer, one of my favorite authors, says that people don't want to be sold. They like to buy, but they don't like to be sold. So I wish you you well. I appreciate your listening to me ranting on this subject. And If you have other topics that you would like us to discuss on this program, or you have people that you would like us to interview, I really truly hope that you'll write to teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. So have a great evening, and I'll see you next week. Good night now.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
SWAT team made entry. They found one suspect inside who was deceased from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The suspect has been positively identified as Mr. Limbrick.
Authorities in Georgia confirming the suicide death of the man who shot and killed a police officer yesterday and critically wounded another. Police officials say they found Manuel Limbrick because of tips based on a reward.
His community came together. They worked with law enforcement, and they contributed to a reward fund, which went forward with information which led us to where he was at.
President-elect Donald Trump in Ohio. He'll be meeting with the victims of the terrorist attack at Ohio State University, then moving on his thank you tour to a stop in Iowa tonight, Michigan on Friday. Get more news and analysis online at usaradio.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. During the holidays, make decorations to brighten up your home.